member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, Rochester. You are listening to Soundbites on November 29th. Of the great year of 2014. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And Nick will not be with us this week, but he will return next week off with some family duties.
Always take family first.
Yes, and our condolences go out to there. But we are Soundbites, and we are here to take your questions. So don't forget, pick up the phones, give us a call at 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And boy, we made it through Black Friday. How did you guys do?
Yeah, Black Friday, being a small retailer, Black Friday is always rough because the big box stores always have these sales that we can't match because they do loss leaders. They lose money on a given sale because they know they'll make it up on their overall sales for the day. But small stores don't often have that luxury. But yeah, we did pretty good. That was pretty busy. Today was getting busy when I was leaving, so I'm going to be heading back to the store when we're done here.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with retail. You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, and today is Small Business Saturday, so what's interesting is one of the founding partners of Small Business Saturday is American Express, and the goal is to shop at small businesses instead of the big box stores.
Correct.
The irony is that American Express's credit card fees are so high that small businesses generally can't take American Express.
Yeah. I could never. Yeah, no, yeah. There was just no way. But then we're also coming up on Black Monday, which is usually which is usually the biggest shopping day online for the folks that do like to not go out to the stores and, you know, fight the malls and all that type of stuff and just go right there, order the stuff from the convenience of their home.
There's been a lot of interesting talk around the net that I've heard there's a lot of people that want to kind of eliminate Black Friday and Cyber Monday because so many people buy stuff on the internet anyway. And I was hearing from a couple of people who have relatives that work at some of the big box stores that the sales on Black Friday weren't as good as they were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no.
And so you buy stuff online and, you know, free shipping to your home or whatever. You buy enough, you get that. And you don't have to brave the crowds or the traffic. And so there's a lot of people are saying that the actual retail Black Friday sales aren't as big anymore.
Yeah,
that was a big thing in the Apple world too. Apple was offering gift cards to the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. So in essence, they're keeping the money themselves instead of an actual cash discount on their stores. Although they were product red cards, so that it benefits the AIDS Research Foundation.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so a lot of the sales weren't as giant as they thought. We did get a few people calling us in the afternoon when the stock ran out at some of the big stores. You know, so that 50-inch TV for $199, they've got one of them in the store, and you've got to be there at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m., 5 a.m. to get it. Some of the computers that had the biggest sales on them, they didn't have very many in stock, and then after that, it's just retail price.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the one thing, and again, this is just my opinion, does not reflect the opinion of the station or anybody else, but I still have a big-time problem, and again, it's my age showing, and I'll admit it. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, Christmas didn't start until the end of Macy's Day Parade, and you saw Santa, then everything lit up, and you went out and did your thing. But you spent Thanksgiving Day home with family.
Yep.
2 days out of the year, I think we should really, you know, sit back and be thankful for what we got and what, you know, the future might bring us, and that's both Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yes.
The day, you know, that would really upset me if I all of a sudden start hearing companies opening up on Christmas Day that evening.
Yeah.
To have their pre-sales of getting rid of the rest of their inventory.
Yeah, their after Christmas sales.
Yeah, after Christmas sales start. That would really talk. But it still bothers me on Thanksgiving Day, these stores, And there were a number of them. And I encourage folks, I know they're doing up a list and, you know, telling folks, you know, if you really object to this, voice your opinion. And you should. Because I'm sorry. The almighty dollar's got to stop somewhere just for a day. Yep. You can't go without, you know, is it really worth it? And some of these places were opening up from, say, 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. 4 hours? And you're ruining other people's day to stand there and hope?
Yeah, and I had read stories about people that were being threatened to be fired if they didn't work Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was more or less hell. Yeah, you don't come in. Don't bother coming in the day after. Because,
it's crazy.
You know, yeah, it is. Well, tell you what, we got Andy on the phone. Go ahead, Andy. What do you have to offer, sir?
Well, first of all, thank you all for coming in on Thanksgiving weekend to answer our questions.
Yeah.
two questions. One's real quick. Nick's been talking about his book on Kindle. If you don't have a Kindle, how do you get to that book?
You can install the Kindle app on virtually any other device, your computer, your iPad, your Nook Reader, and then get to the Kindle store that way.
Okay. So much for the easy one.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, yeah, Amazon has been really good about making their Kindle store available on every other platform besides their own as well.
Well, and that's a good thing because I don't know, I guess I'm old-fashioned. When I read a book, I want to read a book.
Well, and I kind of like the idea of having all the different bookstores available on every device because bookstores are like other stores. You know, sometimes they have a sale on a book I've been waiting for, and then I will I'll buy it then.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, on to the more difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling.
I've got an HP laptop running Windows 8.1. It's been working just fine. Wife went and did a little shopping online yesterday morning. Went to get back on yesterday afternoon and now can't get to the net at all. When I check the network, it says it's connected to my in-home network. It's, you know, 5 gigahertz network. Shows a signal strength really good. Tried resetting the network. Hey, go to Roadrunner or Google or anything, it just times out. Said, okay, fine. Shut the whole thing down, brought it back up. It won't remap the network drives either. So I brought it up and hooked it into a hardwire network, figuring, okay, if the wireless is going to give me a problem, we'll go.
Yeah, that cable. Makes sense.
Same results. Now, I have a Windows 7 Pro box that is hardwired all the time, and I turned it on last night and got on the net, and everything's working fine.
Are you getting an IP address at all when you're on Wi-Fi? So that's sort of the key.
If you can get out to a DOS prompt and type in IP config, that'll show you if you've got a... but you said you did a hard reset. I mean, you shut everything down, so that should automatically get you one, but that doesn't mean you did. Yeah. But if you go into the command prompt and type in IP config...
Okay, hang on. I got to turn the wireless back on because I shut it off.
And
well, that was going to be another suggestion. Turn wireless on and off. Forget the network and reattach to the network.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I'm hooked hardwired to the network right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing, you know, shows my home network internet access. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supposed to be fine, but when I go to Roadrunner, it times out.
He might have some.
Have you tried rebooting your router?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have seen cases where the router, the DHCP table fills up.
Everything goes through a real heavy-duty power bar. And I tried individually, and I said, okay, fine, we'll just do the whole thing. And I killed the whole thing.
But have you danced the tango, though?
Everything went through its restart. The lights all flashed. Everything came on. The Linksys came up. It worked fine. The 4-terabyte drive came up flat, mm-hmm, and then it came on solid. So everything came back.
Yeah, well, you said your other computer's hooked up
computers
and working.
Work, yeah. So but I have seen problems with the DHCP server in some routers where your computer is asking for an address and doesn't get it.
Okay.
So the key thing at the very bottom level is to make sure you get an IP address.
Yeah.
And while you're in that command prompt, try a ping command. Ping the address of the router, and then try pinging a public address, you know, soundbites.org. And see if you can ping the router, then your internal network is okay. If you can't ping a website, then it could be the DNS table is messed up. If you can find the public IP address of a website, and I'm frantically looking up what Soundbites is.
Okay, let's start with the basics here. I'm in Windows 8.1, which I will admit is one of my least favorite places to be.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I feel your pain.
how do I get to a DOS window in 8.1?
What you got to do is, I believe over in the right-hand corner, there's a down arrow, and you can get to the other icons on your desktop. It'll show you all the other, you know, programs and all that. You can swipe from going from left to right. And one of them is a command prompt. So if you hover over in the right, a lower...
I want to go back to the charm screen and then go down.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. Thank you.
You'll see if you keep going, you know, like I say, to the right, eventually you're going to see one of them that says command prompt.
Whoa.
You can also go into your control panel and do a properties on the Wi-Fi connection.
Got it.
All right. And once it opens up the command prompt, you can then type in ipconfig.
All one word.
Yep.
I remember that part.
Yep. And that will tell you what the IP address of your computer is.
The other thing is if you
it's showing me the default gateway, which is my router's default gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And it should give you what your IP. It may have scrolled off the top of the window. You may have to scroll back up.
The other thing I'm going to suggest while you're looking at that is, if that doesn't really show us anything, you know, it's kind of valid, you might also, at the command prompt, want to try typing msconfig. That's all one word, msconfig. And that's going to open up a window, and it'll show up your startup. There's a tab there that says startup. And in your startup, you might want to see if something maybe snuck in there that's trying to maybe hijack you to someplace else, or, you know, I'm suspecting that you've got some spyware or malware on that machine.
Which is interesting.
Because you are getting on to the other, you know, the other computer is getting on, but it's just this one that you're having issues with.
Okay, msconfig.
Mm-hmm.
The problem there is you have to know what's supposed to be there already to know what's new.
A lot of it, though, you can turn off, and it usually won't hurt too much.
Yeah. Did you find the IP address of your computer? Which would have been in the IP config.
When is IP config? We have wireless LAN.
Right. It should show you the IP address, the gateway address. May show you the DNS addresses. I don't remember.
Okay, IPv6 address?
Probably V4.
Connection-specific DNS suffix. Okay, wait a minute. Where are we here? Yeah, I mean, it shows me the default gateway, but it's not showing me anything else.
What's the address of your gateway?
192.168.1.1.
That should be, yeah. Try typing a ping.
Wait a minute. IPv4 address is 192.168.1.124.
Okay, so that's all right. So try typing a ping, ping in space, and then what the ping command does is sends a little tiny packet out to see if it can talk to the other end.
Okay, just ping?
Just ping, and then space and soundbytes.org. And that will try to talk to a server at the other end and try to come back from
I'm sorry, that was ping space soundbytes.org?
Yep. And it's a very low-level, is my network...
talking.
Yeah, my network stack basically talking.
Okay, bytes with a Y,
yep.
Francis would remind us.
And that will
pinging soundbytes.
So if you're getting answers
request timed
back,
out.
All right, so
yeah, he's not getting out.
You're not getting out. Try ping space, and we'll do it by address. We'll see if it's the DNS.
All right. How do I get this thing? There we go. All right. So that was ping.
And the space. Yep. 65.44.220.71. And so that will ping the computer directly without going through the DNS.
Timed out.
All right, so there's something wrong with the network stack in your computer. Well, try pinging your router, 192.168.1.1. Make sure you can do that. If you can't get past your router, then there's something wrong with your computer talking to your router.
Yep.
If you know the address of another computer on your internal network, you can try pinging it to try to see where the problem
lies. I think
you
might have some spyware or malware in there, and you need to dance the tango.
Yep, something in that machine is blocking internet feeds. Do you have a firewall installed? Maybe it's set too high. It's blocking everything.
Well, everything was working fine yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And she went out and did some shopping and then can't connect.
I would try Safe Boot with networking and see if that gets you to the internet. And that way you'll know it's something extra that's been accidentally added into the computer. If it still doesn't work, then you've got deeper problems.
All right, let's see. I put in the router's base address. Ping statistics.
Tell you what, Andy, tell you what, hold on. We got to take a small break here. We will come back to you right after that, so just hold on. And we remind the rest of the folks out there, you know, pick up the phone. Don't be shy. Give us a call, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We will be back in just a few moments right after these great words of wisdom, so stay tuned.
Talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we have Andy still on the phone. So, Andy, Steve and I were kind of talking, and from what we're gathering in, the key thing that you said was that your wife was shopping.
Yep.
And I think you wound up getting some malware or spyware in there that has taken over that machine and isn't going to let it out.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I did try, while we were listening to the words of wisdom there, did try and do a reboot, and it comes up, and it gives a little error message when it first comes up. It says, group policy client service did not fire up, and she tells me to go in and check the event log to see what's going on.
Yeah. The only other thing I would suggest, here's two things I would suggest you do. Go ahead, go back to command prompt and type in that msconfig, see what's going on in that startup program, that startup tab. Most of the stuff usually you can turn off without harming anything because you can always go back in and turn it back on.
And that's a lot what Safe Boot does. It turns all that stuff off.
Yeah, right. Just refresh my memory real quick. How do I throw into a Safe Boot?
If you hit F8.
Doesn't F8? Work. No.
That's right.
He's on Windows 8. Doesn't work that image. We have a link on our website from a few weeks ago.
I think it's Control F8.
Shift
F8.
If you're already booted Windows, there's a way to do a reboot into Soundbites, into Safe Boot. I'm trying to go back to our link list to see when we had
That's
that
okay.
Safe Boot. So yeah, a few weeks ago I posted a link on Safe Booting Windows.
Okay.
Windows 8.
All right, I'll get on the other computer and check that then.
And then, if you know, like I say, once you get into the msconfig, if you know that doesn't solve it, I would definitely dance the tango with the spyware, super anti spyware, and the malware bytes.
Yeah, well, I've got that stuff. That's no problem. I just have to get it off the other computer and
yep. Get it updated. Get the updated versions. Reinstall it onto this Windows 8 machine and see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully I can get a Safe Boot and get out and get it downloaded and run it.
There you go. Yep. Good luck, my friend.
Well, if all else fails, I'll just go and I'll let HP restart, do its thing, because it will go through and clean everything out and restart it. And
yeah, they wipe everything out, though.
Yep.
Actually, the factory did this for me because I couldn't get it to connect to my network to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me to do it. It rebooted itself, and it remembered all the settings and everything.
Cool.
So they have a reinstall Windows without erase the whole hard drive option.
That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it went through and reloaded Windows because I couldn't connect to my router in the house with it.
Mm-hmm.
Once they did that, I had the connection. That's another thing I've lost with this thing now. It won't remap the network drive.
Oh, okay.
And well, because it can't find
something up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right, my friend. Take care. Let us know how you make out, please.
Yeah, I got to get this thing back up and running because it's my wife's computer, and she's upset that she can't do what she wants to do.
Yep.
And you know the old saying, if mama ain't happy,
nobody's happy.
Ain't nobody going to be happy. Good luck,
I'm
my friend.
I'm aware of that. At least she's not sitting over my shoulder watching me try and fix this thing.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And the link from a few weeks ago, which was actually a few months ago, back in July, to Microsoft broke, so I'm putting a new link up on Windows Start Settings. Probably because the link I had was for 8.0, which they have now removed because 8.1 is the current version. So if you're already in your PC, booted to Windows 8, there is a PC Settings section, and then you go to Update Recovery, Advanced Startup, and Restart Now. And then you get that option that you used to get just by hitting F8.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jerks.
Hey, you know, they got to keep their control.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
What was wrong with leaving? I don't mind Apple. I get angry at Apple for the same things, too. The new iTunes, everything is moved and things you're used to are gone. I don't mind them adding new features.
Right.
But leave the old features in, please. Because, I've been using them for 20 years.
Well, because they have to have that, oh, well, we did change things.
Yeah.
And the only way they can prove it is by moving things around and confusing people more.
Yep. Yeah, if you're starting new, it doesn't matter because you just learn that way.
You have no reference point.
But we've been using these stupid machines for 30 years, and you change the key on us for no good reason?
Yeah, it's like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
It was no different with Windows. I mean, they changed add remove programs to programs and features.
Yeah, because now programs is the first word.
Yeah.
But programs and features doesn't imply you can add or remove programs.
No. Made no sense.
Yeah.
What is features, anyways? It's still, when you click on it, you're still going to the same tab where you uninstall programs.
And it looks just like Add Remove Programs used to inside.
All they did was change the tab up at the top, so instead of being up at the top of the screen, it's now down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Under, Add and Remove Programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, made no sense. One of the things we could do is, I wouldn't mind hearing from some of the folks in... knowing what great deals they got.
Yeah, because did you get one of those cool deals?
Oh, at our store, we had a special going. And it happened to be this particular plant for 99 cents. And, we had a boatload of them. People were coming in and scarfing them up 12 at a time. They were gone in an hour.
You didn't have a limit X per customer on
them? Yeah, they did, 12.
12, wow.
12. So, but we burned through them, in an hour. Yep. Now, here's the thing. People were coming in then, 11 o'clock, 11:30, saying, where are they? They were gone in within an hour. What? That's ridiculous. You have it here advertised. Yes, and everybody got here early to do it.
And at the fine print bottom of that advertisement, it said, while supplies last.
Yes, but nobody but reads the fine print.
Well, that's the big problem with the deals. On Black Friday is they only have so many. You might have had 100 of them, but they're gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
they're gone early for the people that like getting up at dark 30. Some of us are more crack of noon kind of people.
Yeah, no,
especially
I
had, eating all that the day before.
No, I had to get up. What was it? 3:30 to be to work by 4:30.
Yeah.
By last night, when I left Kathy's, it's like, man, I was whipped. I no sooner got home, let the dogs out, and I crashed. I slept over 9 hours today. It's like, I had to make up for it because, man, as it was, I barely remember the ride home other than on Ridge Road there.
Yep.
There was a bad accident because they put, they've put those cameras where they're photo-enforced.
Yeah, the red light cameras.
Yeah. It's weird because on Ridge Road, right there by the Hess station, they've only got it going one way. If you're going from east to west at the Hess station. And evidently somebody decided to stop quick and boom.
Smack, yeah. Well, and then they put those dividers in. So they split Ridge Road into a divided highway. And that was right when I was moving out. They started, used to live in Greece. They started putting that in. And all the small businesses were worried.
Oh, yeah.
Their business would die because people can't turn left anymore.
Yeah, you can't get. Well, some folks now go down the road.
You could barely turn left anyway. But now you can't turn left, so you have to go like a couple blocks down to try to find a U-turn.
They're even getting goofy instead of because they don't want to wait for that light. They go on down to the railroad tracks there on Ridge Road and turn around there. It's like, what, you crazy?
Yes. Yes, they are.
It's not worth losing your life over.
Speaking of crazy, there was a really weird news story this week. Drones have been in the news a lot lately.
UPS wants to use them.
Well, when we called them quadricopters, they were toys.
Yeah.
But now they're drones. and there's been a problem of idiot drone pilots flying too close to airports and becoming a danger to airplanes. A drone gets sucked into an engine and it could bring the plane down.
Yeah.
And so there've been several dozen pilots. The one report I'm reading said that 41 pilots have reported seeing drones or unmanned aircraft. 193 incidents have been investigated since February this year. Some pilots have had to alter their course to avoid the drones. And it's usually right around airports because most drones can't go up that high, 500, 1,000 feet maybe. And it's really interesting that there are idiots that will do this. They'll get too close to air. And maybe some of the problem, I shouldn't call them all idiots, they don't know.
Close to it.
Well, they don't necessarily know where the air corridors are.
Yeah.
Because we're used to being here on the ground. You go up 1,000 feet, 1,800 mm-hmm. feet, you might be in the flight path. Although, if you live there, you'll probably have noticed airplanes flying over your house
one
all the time.
One would think, yes.
Yeah. Apple is building a new campus in Cupertino, a giant cylinder or a circle. So we call it the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And every few weeks, someone takes a drone over and flies overhead to see how construction is going, because of the construction barriers they mm-hmm. have up to protect protect the public. But to fly a drone over it, the superstructure is going up, so it's kind of interesting to see all the girders in place. So there's some really neat stuff for drones. I was at a RC. Rams, Rochester Aero Modeling Society, out in Palmyra. They have a field and they have a lot of the more advanced quadricopters will have a hover mode and a GPS mode. So he put it up 500 feet, pointed the camera at the field, and was taking pictures of all the RC aircraft flying from above, which is pretty cool. And then puts it in hover mode and doesn't have to keep controlling it. The onboard computer manages the flight. And then there's a return mode with the GPS in the drone. It will automatically return to its point of origin and land again.
Cool.
And these things, you can get they have micro drones for $50 that fit in the palm of your hand. But you can, decent drone, $300-$400, and you've got a camera platform, you've got GPS built in, and it's a really cool toy. And of course, South Park did an episode on drones where they took it to the ludicrous extreme.
surprise!
Where they had drone, they had everyone got in the drones, and the police started getting drones, and then there was a giant drone war between the two drones fighting each other, and Butter's dad was the start of the whole thing. Of course, Cartman took the drone. You're a drone, and that's against the drone enthusiast code of ethics. Well, yes, it is.
All right, tell you what, let's go back to the phones, and we got Andy from Rochester. Go ahead, Andy.
This is James.
I'm sorry, James. I was looking at the wrong name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a message from Java add-on, Java Runtime Environment 7 update from Oracle. What is that?
Java is a programming language.
I have Java. The runtime environment update.
Java is
JavaScript.
Completely independent of JavaScript. It's totally different, even though it's a similar name.
Yep.
Java is a full-featured language, and programs like OpenOffice and Apache Office are written in Java. Because Java exists on all platforms, Mac, Windows, Linux, a company can make one program and distribute it on all the platforms. So it's a really... Generally,
time environment update. Should I go yes?
Generally, yes. The problem is the bad guys know that Java gets updated a lot because they keep finding holes in it all the time. So there can be fake Java messages that pop out. So you want to be sure the message you're getting is actually coming from Oracle.
Yeah, from Oracle.
Yeah. And if you're unsure, you can go to java.com, which is Oracle's website for Java, and download the update manually. But generally speaking, yes, you want to do those Java updates.
Okay.
Some people that may have installed Java for a program they don't use anymore, and you can turn off Java and not know, not miss it because you're not using it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's okay to do.
Yep.
One other thing. I got a message from Adobe Flash install the latest, but I already have the latest. Why would they send me that message?
Well, the same sort of thing. The bad guys find holes in Flash very frequently, and updates come out very frequently. if it's a real message, then there is an update, or it could be a fake message trying to trick you into downloading somewhere fake. Again, if you're unsure if it's a real message, go to adobe.com and download the Flash update yourself.
Yeah. Well, one other thing. I'm lately on Internet Explorer, which I use. I'm getting a bunch of not responding messages that, you know, like slow things down more than usual. What should I do with that?
Generally, those are ads that the web browser is trying to display. Mm-hmm. This time of year, there's more and more ads that are being displayed. And one of the things you can do is put it in an ad blocker so it doesn't try to load the ad in the first place. But a better option might be to not use Internet Explorer. You can use Firefox or Chrome instead. They are generally safer browsers because they're not as tied into Windows and are better at preventing malware from sneaking in.
How would I get an ad blocker if I wanted to put that on?
AdBlock Plus is one of the most popular ones.
What is an ad block?
Yeah. If there's for Internet Explorer is the next question, because it generally installs as an add-on. AdBlock Plus does have an Internet Explorer version.
So that's good to put on. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Have a nice day.
Yep.
You too.
Yeah, it's sort of a catch-22 because the free and open internet we see all the time is paid for by the ads on the websites that we don't want to see.
Yep, you got it. All right, with that, we're going to take a short break here, but we will be back in. We've got one caller on the line right now, and you feel free for you folks to pick up the phones. Give us a call at 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We will be back in just a few moments right here on the longest-running computer show, Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And we will welcome you back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And on the phone, we have Bruce from Brighton. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I have a system. I'm running Windows 7, and I've been having problems with some programs just not starting properly. I think there may be some registry issues.
Mm-hmm.
There, when I look at the remove programs under the control panel,
mm-hmm.
there are some programs that are not listed there. But when I run msconfig,
mm-hmm.
I can see them as being in the startup menu under the what I believe is the registry,
mm-hmm.
starts off with HKLM. And they're in a folder called WOW6432 node.
Yeah, that sounds like some spyware that you can uncheck those things in the startup.
Yeah.
So you
think that spyware, because I did a search on the internet, it does seem to be a valid tag.
But you can also download a program called RegClean, and clean out through the registry. But what we always recommend to folks is a program called Revo Uninstaller.
I've opened that too. I got that, and once again, some of these programs, including iTunes,
mm-hmm.
And Java, they don't show up in Revo or in the control panel, but they do show up in when I run msconfig under system configuration.
Yeah, it's best to have Revo installed before you install those apps, and then
because
it can find them.
It doesn't
better.
Do it good after. That's why we tell folks, if you get a brand new computer, the first program you should install after Super Anti-Spyware, Malware Bytes, and an antivirus program is Revo Uninstaller. Revo Uninstaller will keep track of then every program that sneaks into your computer. And it'll show it on the list, but if you do it after the fact, it's not going to always find them all.
So you're suggesting RegCleaner and what was the other one?
I would go into the msconfig startup and turn those off.
Okay, start turning them off.
Yeah, just turn them off.
If they turn themselves back on, then you have a deeper problem.
Yeah, then you got an issue there, then you want to run, Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes.
But eventually I do want to run them again, so is there a way to uninstall them if I remove them from msconfig?
You're not uninstalling them under msconfig.
Yeah.
All you're doing is by unchecking them, say, don't start at startup.
Okay.
You can always turn the ones that you want back on by just going back into msconfig, selecting the ones that you need, and checking those so that they'll start the next time you turn on the computer.
Okay. Well, I have run into the same problem, though. that point?
Well, if it, again, if it's not needed, you don't have to worry about it. Most of them, they're, unless it's like a video card or a sound card, that type of stuff that really needs to be running when you start up. Any other program, like iTunes or all those, when you need them, you click on them and they'll turn on.
Are you running 64-bit Windows?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what the WoW registry key does. It lets you run 32-bit programs in 64-bit Windows.
Yeah.
And so it generally is a good thing, and it's part of Windows, and I wouldn't have expected to see it in the remove programs, because that's something you shouldn't remove. Right.
But it could still be causing some issues if you got some other stuff in there.
And what the bad guys often do is they can make malware with a similar sounding name to
exploit it
to real software to trick people into it.
Yeah, well, I do want to clean it up, to the point where this is not an issue.
Yeah. So yeah, the RegClean can try to help clean the registry. Sometimes the bottom line becomes back up your data, erase everything, and reinstall from scratch. Okay. I know people that do that every 6 months as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right,
so yeah, it's a pain because it takes time to do all that. It's sometimes necessary, especially if you're the kind of person that likes to download new stuff all the time. So you download and install, download and install, download and install. And if you never uninstall stuff that you quit using, the registry can get really messed up with all the stuff you've installed.
And that's where we say Revo Uninstaller is the best one to use, because what happens is when you use the Windows uninstaller, all that does is turn one bit off. It still leaves all that garbage in the registry and its references to the program and all this other stuff. And by uninstalling and installing that program, say 3-4 times, you have 3 or 4 entries in the registry for that one program, and it makes it longer. It slows down the machine. Whereas Revo Uninstaller goes in there and looks for everything in the registry, on your hard drive, and just the shell of the programs, and it will remove all of it. So it's totally wiping it out in your machine, not just turning off one bit and leaving a lot of junk behind. So that's why we recommend you folks, you get a brand new computer, go to Revo Uninstaller, install it, and you'll love it, because it'll help keep your machine cleaner and running faster. Let's go back to the phones. We got Steve from Greece. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon,
actually,
sir.
The person with Revo Uninstaller, Revo has Hunter mode. And the way you use Hunter mode is when it doesn't show up on the list, you take that, you push Hunter mode, you grab that little icon and drop it directly on the, he's found it in his list of programs.
Mm-hmm.
You put it directly over the program you wish to uninstall.
Okay, cool.
And it'll work that even after you've installed Revo, it's still iTunes will never show up on Revo Uninstaller.
Yeah, I had a feeling, but I didn't want to say that for sure because
you can still use Revo. You just have to use Hunter mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
now
cool.
My question, and I don't think you're going to be able to help me, but I thought I'd challenge you today.
Hey, we're up for it.
A year ago, I bought a Bluetooth wireless keyboard for my Samsung Galaxy 8 Note.
Mm-hmm.
And I now wish to also use that Bluetooth on another device, but I have no idea what the code is. Is there a way of recovering the code from my other device? Because, if I don't put in the Bluetooth code, it's not going to connect, and I have lost that info on what the code is.
Generally, when you pair a Bluetooth device, it either gives you the code it has inside, or it asks you to make up a code.
Yeah.
So if you unpair the device from the first computer and then pair the device to the second one, you said it was a mouse?
No, it's a wireless keyboard.
A keyboard, yeah. So on a keyboard, you would have to either make up a code, or the code would be in the manual, maybe inside the battery
That's
door.
That's the problem. I mean, it came with the code I should put in,
mm-hmm.
the paperwork the manual, whatever you want to call it.
And you can't find it.
So it was very easy to, but I don't have that manual. I do not know where that went to. I'm generally very...
But Google the make and model of the keyboard, and you should be able to download a new manual.
Yeah, they should be able to, or call them, and they might be able to give you another temporary code.
Well, I presume that it's going to be different for each machine, isn't it? I mean, each keyboard's going to have a... Granted, it's a four-digit number, so there's only 10,000. Yeah.
So it's unlikely it'll be different.
Yeah, and there's no reason. You know, I mean, it's only pairing it to that device. It's not like it's broadcasting, you know, hundreds of miles.
Right, but they have a distinct eight or four-digit code to put in.
Yeah, and they'll probably
for that device.
Yeah,
but they'll probably be able to tell you. I mean, it's
what,
worth a
what
shot.
Model? What model keyboard is it?
It's a Samsung Galaxy. It's a IVSO Samsung Galaxy 8 Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard portfolio, and it's covered with, you know, basically it's designed specifically for the Note 8.
Yep.
But it's a Bluetooth keyboard. I should be able to use it on any Bluetooth device. It's basically I don't need the case.
Yeah.
Can use the keyboard separate from the case.
Right. Theoretically, any Bluetooth keyboard can be used on any Bluetooth device.
Right.
I'm finding some responses in the Galaxy Tab forum. Googling around, we should be able to find the either the manual or the pairing code. So we'll keep digging for it, and we'll let you know.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Hunter mode.
Yep. Thank you very much.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I haven't had to uninstall anything in so long. I haven't actually had to use Revo, that much of a computer.
But that's kind of one of the interesting things we're seeing now is that most computers and tablets are coming with a lot of basic software, and a lot of people almost don't need to download anything more. You know, what we call the regular folk.
Yeah.
You've got your mail, you've got your web, you got your photos.
Well, like a Chromebook, you know?
Yeah.
And you use Google Office.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the apps are there for doing spreadsheets, doing word processing and everything else. And you save your documents to the cloud and, you know, space is not an issue.
Most of the Android tablets, Google Android, so you've got your Google Docs built in. Yep. Windows tablets have been including the Microsoft Office. Apple tablets includes Apple's iWork.
It's all there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
There's all kinds of really cool applications you can install, but a lot of people never do.
You know, I was looking at some of the ads in that, but it seemed like TVs were the big thing. Nothing really outstanding as far as in the computer world. You know, other than, you know, some tablets.
There was a $29 Android tablet at some store, and that just sounds too cheap to me.
Yeah. How reliable.
Yeah. But people are going to see a $29 tablet and go buy it.
Yeah. But like I say, I didn't see any big, ooh, wow, you know, things that folks are, oh, I got to get there quick to get this particular laptop or that. It's really dying off. Excuse me, I hate to say that, but because everybody's getting into the tablets, and I mean, as far as the big PCs, you know, the big boxes, they're really not out there anymore. I mean, folks are getting to where they want to be more mobile, and I have seen where, you know, they'll get the tablets and now the attachable keyboards.
Yep.
So they have the flexibility of that, or a tablet where they can turn it around and flip it around. And use it like a tablet or flip it the other way. It's all attached and still use a keyboard on it.
Yep.
So, you know.
So it becomes basically a little laptop.
Yeah. So, you know, you got it both ways. Mm-hmm. But as far as the big boxes, you know, and the big, get this, you know, Windows, whatever system, touch screen, you know, 24-inch screen, keyboard, mouse, and everything else, you know, big graphics card and all that. Big specials.
We're kind of seeing that die off. It's almost going back to you get one family computer to do the big stuff on, and then you get, you know, four, five, six tablets. Well, or even phones now. You got 5, 6, 7-inch cell phones. That's your tablet. You don't need to have a separate tablet now.
Well, especially like with the Chromebooks. The Chromebooks are so cheap.
Yep.
$200-$300, you got a full laptop. They're thin. The battery life's great on them. Or, like you say, folks are using a tablet. They can surf the internet. They can email. They can, Skype. They can do whatever they want off a wireless network. It's there. And the portability. And along with the cloud, you store out any documents or that type of stuff. So it doesn't matter where you are.
Yep.
You could be away from home and, I want to get a document. No big deal. I just go up to the cloud. There it is. Or if I'm using Google Docs, that follows me everywhere.
Yeah.
So, we're getting separated. Even on the Mac side, I haven't heard of any big boxes on your side either that are really touting. The iPhones, mm-hmm. iPhone 6 and then the bigger iPhone.
The latest is the Retina 5K iMac mm-hmm. with a 5K display. None of that 4K garbage anymore. Oh, it's a 5K. Well, you need a 5K display so video editors can edit a 4K video and still have space left for their palettes and tools.
But I remember, back the day, the big thing was, the bigger screen, Joe. You wanted the 30-inch screens and that type of stuff to see all your work that you're doing in that. But,
it's getting to be too much of an overkill. And 30-inch screen on your desktop computer, that's huge. You don't really need it any bigger.
It's really absurd. Of course,
hook your computer up to your 60-inch plasma.
Well, that's where folks now are taking the laptops and hooking it up to the TV, to, as we've talked about before, just streaming TV programs. So, it's kind of switching up all the way around. But you know what? Right now, that music tells us that we got to take a short break. It is coming up to the top of the hour, and you have wasted maybe 1 hour of your life that you could never get back. But you know what? Stick around if you're a glutton for punishment, because we have another full hour. Steve Ray and I will be taking your questions if you pick up the phones and give us a call at 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415, and we will be back with more fun and information on the longest running computer show here in Rochester and the world, Soundbites.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, and welcome back to the second edition, or second hour, I should say, of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And let me just swing around here, make it a little bit easier. But, again, we encourage you folks, please pick up the phones, give us a call at 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We'd like to hear from some of the folks out there in their shopping experience, or was there any one particular product out there that, you couldn't do without, and you were one of those crazies that got up at, Dark 30 and was standing in line.
Yeah.
I saw some folks, as a matter of fact, I was just looking at on Facebook there, somebody posted a bunch of different scenes from different stores, people going bananas.
Yeah.
Punching people out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You don't need to be that crazy. In fact, most of the time you can get that same sale online, or you might even find a better sale at a different store. So that's, and then it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is the whole concept of the Black Friday sales is kind of merging into Cyber Monday and just buy it online anyway. But us small retailers wish you would come to the stores.
Exactly. Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, this is getting out of hand. People punching each other. People getting arrested.
I haven't heard of a death count this year.
Hopefully.
There is quite frequently there's someone gets trampled with at some store. Mm-hmm. The the doors open and the person right in front gets trampled. But then, you know, the deals aren't that big anymore. Market pressure has pushed prices down.
Mm-hmm.
We had several people asking us, can you give me $5 off? No, $5 is my margin.
Yeah.
And you can't get the deals anymore because the prices have been dropped. It used to be there was a manufacturer suggested retail price, $199. But for you, you can have it for $50. All right. Yeah. Well, no, now they list it for $50 and you can have it for $50.
That's it. I'll tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We got Roger from Greece. Go ahead, Roger.
Hi. I have two questions for you regarding Firefox. When I click on opening Firefox, it comes up with a little window in the center, a search window, that is for Amazon. And I'd like to be able to search, you know, anywhere, but no matter what I type in that bar, it only takes me to Amazon. Is there, and I've looked through the, the menus for Mozilla, trying to find a place where I could change that. Is there a way to change that?
There is a way to change it.
In default browser.
Well, the default homepage. But
I'm
what
sorry.
It sounds yeah. like more likely is that you've got hit with some adware,
mm-hmm.
Maybe from Amazon, maybe from some other company. A lot of the adware changes your search page and your homepage to force you to use their adware. And if you try to change your homepage to something else like Google, it changes it back.
Yep.
So I would suggest you check in your extension list. Does Firefox call it extensions or add-ons? Let me go to my...
Might be add-ons.
Might be. It's either add-ons or extensions. Some browsers call it one thing. Some browsers call it another thing. And you may find that you have gotten an adware extension installed by mistake.
Okay.
We see a lot of them lately. Dave and I were joking about it during one of the previous breaks, that oftentimes you'll get a message on screen. Mm-hmm. Would you like to improve your searching experience?
Yes.
And you say, yeah, sure I would. Mm-hmm. It improves it for them not
yeah.
you.
Heck with you.
It didn't say it was going to improve it for you.
Yeah.
But
where would I find these add-ons or extensions lists?
It's in the tools menu on my version of Firefox.
Okay.
And then there's extensions, and then there's plugins, and you can see if you have anything that you don't recognize or that actually says something about shopping or ad or search, and you can disable it and then uninstall it.
Okay.
If you want to actually change your default homepage, that should be in preferences. So you can change what your homepage is. In fact, that's one of the clues to know if you're infected or not, is if you change your default homepage, you know, to make it just something radically different, you know, Google, you know, Soundbites, and then when you reopen Firefox again, it's back to this search window,
mm-hmm.
that you definitely have some sort of a malware, adware search toolbar put in.
Okay. All right, now my second question is that when I am in Mozilla and I'm, I click on a site that I want to go to, like a bookmark site, and I bring it up and I click on it, I get the little circle with the dot going around in the upper left-hand corner, you know, which says that it is working or looking. But it used to be that when I would click on it once, it would go through its little search process, and then it would bring up, you know, whatever I had searched for. Now what's happening is that I click on it. It goes around the little circle for sometimes a second, sometimes a couple seconds, and then it stops. If I move the mouse around the screen, it starts up again, although often it'll stop after a very short time, and I have to kind of keep moving the mouse, you know, in order to get to the end point. Eventually, you know, I always get there. Do you know what's going on with that?
It might be similar, mm-hmm. some sort of adware trying to run, and the other end is not responding, either because the cops shut it down
or who knows why,
yeah.
Okay.
Again, another one. Go into your MS config and see if that's running in the background.
Well, there's a Firefox safe mode. If I can find how to run that quickly, which will launch Firefox with no extensions, no add-ons, no extras, no nothings. And if it works fine there, then it will. That means you do have an extension installed.
Okay.
And so let's see. You launch Firefox by holding and hold down the Alt key.
Okay.
Under Windows or the Option key on the Mac, and it will let you
start it up.
Restart in safe mode. Or if you're already in Firefox, if you go to the three bars menu, there's a restart in safe mode command in one of the windows somewhere.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, that safe mode seems to be a really big thing these days. Restart with add-ons disabled is the command I get on my Firefox.
And again, like you said, a lot of it sneaks in.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to another friend of mine, because he thought, you know, his son was doing something wrong. And I said, no, he could be going to legit sites and other stuff is sneaking in.
It's an ad on a page.
Yeah,
and if they can get an ad on Facebook or Walmart or, you know, Amazon, then they infect millions of people.
Yeah, and all they got to do is hover. And it could be legit sites. But some of these other sites are also subsidizing themselves by taking on other advertising.
Which goes back to what we were saying earlier, that the free website you can look at is paid for by the ads.
Right.
And with more and more people blocking ads, the companies that make the websites are trying to find other ways to advertise.
Exactly.
Or to make their revenue.
And they're also getting, you know, hacked. Those ads are getting hacked because they just want to worry about getting their ad up there. They're not so much about protecting the code and everything else.
Well, and a lot of it is automatic. You know, it's, you know, a giant website, you know, has a server, and then there's an ad aggregator, and then there's an agency, and then there's this, and then there's that, and you know, the person at the end of the chain that actually writes the ad, they're probably 10 people removed from the website.
Oh heck yeah!
And poof, there's an ad on the website. We had a customer come in because they were on the Walmart website and clicked a tire ad that was infected with a fake. You better call tech support because you're infected message.
Oh,
those fake messages are getting really, really common and more obtrusive. One of the big tricks is if you get a message from a program you don't own,
hello,
it's probably fake.
And I've also noticed it a lot in my emails.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of these spoofs that this person is out of the office. And it's like, what do I know? And, you know, I just keep throwing them to my junk.
I got one.
And the UPS one is starting up.
Yeah, the fake UPS, Postal Service, FedEx, you'll get fake emails. You know, we tried to deliver your package but couldn't. You know, please click here, log in here, and you can redirect your package. No, it's so the bad guy can redirect your package.
Here's a hint, folks. If you got a package coming and they can't deliver it, they leave a note on the door.
And they'll try to deliver it tomorrow.
Yes! Both UPS and FedEx put notes on the door that they were unable to deliver it. They might need a signature or whatever, but they will attempt it. Don't click on those. Even if you think, oh, somebody's sending me something? Unless you know it for sure, don't bother. Wait for the notice on your door.
Yep.
Be a lot safer.
I got a reverse FBI warning message.
Reverse?
Yeah, instead of saying I'm going to be arrested, it said there's been a settlement in this case and you're due money, so click here to claim your money.
Ooh.
No, there hasn't been. No, I won't click there.
Hell yeah. But remember the days when you'd get there the emails. Oh, that this person in this country is come into all this fortune.
I get 5 or 6 of those a day.
And
it's kind of fun to read them.
Yeah, you know, it's like, wait a minute. This scam has been going on so long. Like I tell folks, I was born at night, just not last night.
Yep.
And that is so stupid to have these even going. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you remember The Adventures of Wendy Wilcox and her dog Willis?
No.
This was a scam in 2002. So this is how far back that goes, where a guy sent an email saying, you know, you've won this money or one of the early Nigerian 419 scams.
Oh, okay.
And this guy strung the scammer on for months, sending them horrible pictures, of this is me, Wendy, and got the guy to stand in front of webcams got a marriage proposal out of him. And it was really, really funny trying to reading this story about how he strung this guy on for months. You know, I'm going to be in Denmark next week. Well, I'll meet you on the corner of, you know, Fifth and Main, because there's a cyber cafe with a webcam and I can see your picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. And this was 15 years ago. So this stuff has been going on forever. In fact, even before the internet, there were regular postal scams, and then regular, con men would come to your door and you need a new roof, give me $1,000 down and I'll fix your roof, and you give them $1,000 and you never see them again.
They were gypsies. They were called the gypsy travelers.
The
travelers.
The gypsies are a legitimate, of Romani origin.
Right, and they were the travelers, and they were go around and they'd scam people.
There's always been people that willing to take advantage of other people.
Oh, yes. And, I'm sorry.
The internet makes it easier. And it makes it more well known. We didn't hear about what happened in the next town over until someone walked to the town and told you.
Yep, exactly. But nowadays, folks just have to be so careful. I mean, this is going back a number of years. I got sent, because when I had the shop going full time there, Dan and I wound up getting this letter in. And it was a request, and it had five American Traveler's checks in it for $100 each.
Yeah.
And they wanted us to cash them and go ahead and buy these this product and then send them down and keep the rest for myself.
Wow.
And I would have made, around $150.
Yeah.
But, back then, that's when I've worked with the FBI and that for quite a few years, and wound up calling them up, my friends there, and called my friend up, Joe, and he came down. Sure enough, these traveler's checks, they looked as authentic as all could get out.
Yep.
And they were going to try to follow the scam, because it was down in South Carolina or somewhere.
Was this Piano Joe?
No. Okay. No.
So I've got a Piano Joe that has a very similar story.
Oh, yeah. No, and they sent me all these, these checks and that, and they looked authentic. Yep. I mean, they were. You would have sworn today. Yeah.
Just keep the extra for yourself.
Yeah, and for your
Who
time.
Who does
and ever.
That? Everyone wants as cheap as they can get.
Heck yeah! So it's like, oh yeah, right. Yep. Again, but I was born at night, just not last night. Yeah. And it ain't going to happen, folks.
Going back to the Black Friday death count, there was a death in Chicago. So we've had one death and six injuries this year on Black Friday.
Just when you thought it was safe.
Yep.
Well, tell you what, we got to take another short break, but we will be back in just a couple of moments. You've got Steve Ray and Dave Enright here on the longest running computer show, Soundbites. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And let's take care of that business.
Push
and
the button, Dave.
Yeah. Too many buttons to push and
sliders to slide and meters to look at.
All this great stuff to control, and I'm out of control, and what can I say?
It's like the bridge of a starship in here.
Yeah, I know it. If you folks could actually see it. And, that's one thing I should go back on. Occasionally we do have open houses here, when we have the pledge drive snit. And I would encourage you folks, if you get a chance, come on down. You hear us talk about this little area that we have, which, we've called home now for over 6 years, to the graciousness of Rob. But we have a lot of fun here. But it is packed in here, and like I say, it does look like Control Central, that I've got three different computers, four different screens, and a heck of a lot of stuff going on along with the phones. So, it is a great time. We have a lot of fun. And I was talking to a couple other folks. Again, I still run into it that folks will say, "So you're still on?" I go, "Yeah, yep. We're still here. 25 years and still going strong. We are still the longest running computer show in the nation." So we can tout that. As one of the folks earlier caller said, even here on a holiday weekend. Yeah, we're usually here. The only Saturdays that we ever take off are if we got something personal, like Nick is dealing with with family and that this weekend. But otherwise, the three of us are usually always here Unless it is a holiday, you know, and it's
the actual day of the holiday,
Christmas or New Year's. Those are about the only two that'll fall on a Saturday because they float around that we would take off. Otherwise, we're here, like we told you folks, 90% of the time, 52 weeks out of the year. We're here to take your computer questions. You know, we love to hear you folks' questions and that. And again, we'll encourage you. We still got it over another half hour. So pick up the phones, give us a call, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'd love to hear if you had an experience out doing your Black Friday shopping. Like I say, Steve and I were both during the break kind of looking at some of these crazy people. You know, like they said, one unfortunate death due to this, and it's really, is it really worth it? You know, this stuff, you know, is your life going to really change that much if you don't get that item? I mean, is it something you really can't live without?
Wait till the after Christmas sales, when the prices will probably be better.
I know what. There's a couple items I got my eye on. You know what? Yeah, I'd like to have it, but you know what? I'll wait until after Christmas. Because like you said, I see it there, and if it goes down, it'll probably go down half price. And yeah, I could live without it if I don't get it. No big deal. You know, the world's not going to come to end. Yeah. You know, I'll still get up the following morning and do whatever I got to do for that particular day. But it's not going to change where some of these folks, they get so obsessed.
Sometimes it's the hottest toy their kid just has to have. I didn't hear what that was this year.
No, I don't think there was one. Again, I didn't hear of a lot of stuff. You know, the promos, like you said, it's getting so commercialized. They beef it up so fast, you know, much ahead of time.
September, the Christmas stuff started coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Labor Day weekend, yeah. after the Labor Day sales. And then there's the fall sale, and then there's the Halloween sale.
That only lasts a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then
the Veterans Day sale. Every week there's a sale on something.
Once we got the Christmas, the Halloween stuff in, then the Christmas stuff started coming in, because once one went down, the other went up.
Yep.
And that was still early, you know, that was still October. And it's like, really? You know, we are pushing it too much. And again, you know, I know I've said this before, and I'll repeat it again. I still like the old days, and yes, it's me and my age, folks. Yes, I'll show it. It's like Nick will even tell you I'm older than dirt. I invented dirt. But it used to be fun. You get up on the following day after Thanksgiving, we went downtown, and that's back in the days when Sibley's and McCurdy's, they had their windows, and they'd block them off until that day, and then open them up, and then you saw all these great Christmas displays. And I mean, they were works of art. They were really nice Christmas displays. They really impressed you when you went downtown, because that was the whole thing. Everybody went downtown. We didn't have the malls. And that, matter of fact, Northgate was the first one.
Well, Midtown was the first indoor enclosed mall
indoor,
in the country.
But
outdoor,
you know, it was like Northgate and that, but indoor, it was Midtown with the clock and all that and the ooing and that.
That's a Walmart now.
Yeah.
Northgate Plaza. It's Northgate Plaza now.
But going back to, I was talking to somebody just a little while ago, how things have come around full circle.
Yep.
In that, I remember the day, Midtown, when I was growing up, down there on South Clinton, there used to be, I think it was called the Lowe's Theater. And on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas and that, before that, they'd have what they call a cartoon special. And as a kid, we used to take the bus downtown, and you could watch cartoons for the whole morning, right until about 1 o'clock, for 50 cents. All right, they tore that theater down.
It does show how old he is.
Oh, yeah. Heck, it was only a nickel to ride the bus. So we would go downtown, watch get in there for 50 cents, have a whole morning of all these great cartoons and all that, and then go home. Well, they tore that down, and then they put up Midtown. Now they've torn down Midtown, it's back to green space.
Yep.
So, you know, and the same with Kodak. As a kid, when I was a teenager, I can remember over on Lake Avenue near Eastman Avenue, there used to be a ballpark. And that's where I played KPA ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I first learned to play baseball. Well, they tore that down to put up a building. Now the building's gone. It's back to green space.
What's really weird, after living in an area for a long time, you know, you know all the buildings around you. You know what's where. And then something gets torn down and built back up again. And it seems like very soon you forget what used to be there. Oh, yeah, what used to be there? I don't remember. What used to be there? You go by where that thing used to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or other places have changed hands so many times, you can't remember what it really originally was. Well, tell you what, we got George on the line from Greece. Go ahead, George.
Hi, fellas. I had a question. I called in last week, and I didn't hear the answer over the air. This pertains to a problem I have in addressing envelopes using Microsoft Word. And when you use the wizard, you go into tools, letters and mailings,
mm-hmm.
and then the choices are mail merge, show mail, envelopes and labels, and then the letter wizard. But the letter wizard is coming up rather faint. It doesn't have the normal contrast. I wouldn't say it was shadow. It's just the letters are fainter than normal, and it's inactive. When you press it, nothing happens. This is something I've used regularly. I probably do, half a dozen envelopes a week, one way or another. And suddenly it stopped working.
One of the things I've seen happen with that is most of those tools use the Visual Basic programming language behind the Office Suite to automate some of these features. And I've had a few machines where for some reason Visual Basic just stops working. You may be able to reinstall Visual Basic from your Office installation disk, or you may need to actually reinstall Office itself completely.
Okay.
You can manually make the envelope, make the file size and the margins and the paper size, but that's annoying. We want to use that wizard.
Yeah, the wizard is a neat feature, and I have a lot of addresses stored in a file.
Yep. You could also use a different program. Avery makes several label and envelope wizards because they expect you to use their label printed label sheets.
Yep.
So Avery has a free tool.
Their labels.
They're the Avery Design, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you could use that as well if you can't get the Microsoft one working again. What version of Microsoft Word is it?
Oh, gee, I didn't. It's an older one. It's probably 2003.
Okay.
Mm. See, that's the whole trouble. Some of the other Microsoft updates
might have taken out some feature that
all they have to do is change a DLL, Dynamic Link Library file, and that could mess up, how you normally used to do something.
That's an interesting thought. That I can't think of anything I did.
Yeah,
but you're right. Those updates,
all those updates, they're generic. It's just like, they're used by so many other programs, and they can affect other programs that were working, especially if it's a Microsoft product.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft and many other companies assume you always have the latest version.
Yeah, the latest and greatest. Oh yeah, why not?
Okay. Thanks for the hint. I'll see what I can do with it.
All right. Sure. Good luck. Let us know.
Thank you.
And it's nice to hear someone using actual postal mail anymore. So there's your other option is send an email, not a postal mail.
Oops.
Yeah.
We've gotten away from it. And that's why, Postal Service is looking to cut back on Saturday still now?
Yeah.
Even though they're doing a big push that they'll do Sunday deliveries.
Yeah, for priority.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay extra, they'll deliver on the weekends, but just regular mail.
Yeah,
is weekdays, yep.
So that's
an interesting fact. What was it on the Flash this week? There's a scene, one of the characters can somehow see the future, and he was looking at a newspaper about what happened to the Flash, and there was a sideline that the U.S. Postal Service shuts down completely because everyone's using email, and then there was another side story that. Wayne Enterprises and Queen Incorporated are merging. And so Batman and Green Arrow are merging. And so there's a lot of crazy stuff. If you can freeze frame on a computer screen or a newspaper, you can read all this crazy stuff that the set designers and set dressers just throw in. It's only on screen for half a second. It's too small to read. Nobody but us geeks is going to try to read it anyway.
Yeah.
So a lot of times there's all these little Easter eggs thrown into these screens that they know average folks aren't going to stop and read.
Yeah, they're blowing by it, you know.
Yep.
Like I've said before, folks have gotten click happy.
Yeah.
Click, 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 and they don't take the time to read stuff. And it's just like some of these other toolbars.
Yep.
I saw one customer had 8 different toolbars on their browser, and they were wondering why they were losing screen space.
Yeah, why is everything so small?
They only have a 17-inch screen, and here's, you know, besides the regular toolbar that you get with the browser, it had 7 other toolbars. And they go, well, I don't know how they got there. Well, you had to accept it. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. And you go in there, and there's the Yahoo one and the Ping one, or Bing, and, you know, all these other toolbars that just want to add on there. And
And a lot of times they'll come with another program you do want to install, and you just skip
add-ons.
Through.
Oh, there are other add-ons that the folks don't take the time to read. And when you're doing the program, it'll sit there, well, we're going to put this on there too. And a lot of folks just say, okay, there is a decline.
Or uncheck the box.
Yeah, or uncheck it. It's not going to stop you from installing it. It's just them trying to add on other features or stuff that they're getting kickback from if they can get it installed on your computer. You know, it's like side advertisers that they're getting extra benefits because in this one program, these other folks try to tag along.
That's why it's free, is because enough people put in this advertising to pay for it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's tag-alongs, and folks don't think, oh, well, it's not going to install if I don't accept it. Yes, they will. You can decline or uncheck it, continue on, and the software will install. And again, slow down, take the time, because a lot of them want to become your default. And if you don't want it your default, that's okay, too. You can uncheck those. It'll still install and still work.
Yep. Read the messages that come up. Make sure you look at all the checkboxes that are there and the accept and declines that are there.
Yeah, because you know what? You don't have to be controlled by them. It's okay. You know, you can go ahead and opt out of them.
Yep. And a lot of times having a toolbar is not bad. Some people like having the Yahoo toolbar because they like searching Yahoo or whatnot. But then you get so many toolbars loaded, you get so many add-ons loaded that your browser gets slow because it has to load all that other stuff. And most of them are ad-based. That's how they get their revenue. So it loads even more ads for you.
Yep. All right. Tell you what, we got to take a short break. But we will be back in just a moment. If somebody's calling on the line, please hold on. We'll get to you in just a moment. But you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we will be back here in just a few moments.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
And welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll click there, and we're all good, so we can go back to it. But yeah, again, going back to, you know, the insanity that these folks, you know, they click on things, they get upset because I didn't do that. You got to just back off a little bit because, you know, I've had a number of folks. No, I didn't.
And I tried. Well, how about, do you have any children that live at home or grandchildren that live at home or pets that live with you that might jump on the keyboard?
Yeah. Well, again, they're quick to blame the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and well, this one guy, a very good friend of mine, his wife was upset with him because they're, well, he's 19 years old college student kid is at home and using their computer, and all this other stuff started popping up.
Yep.
And she's wondering what's going on.
Holiday time, the children or grandchildren might be over playing on your computer.
And I tried to explain to them again, going back to this hover stuff. You could be going to legitimate sites, and they can take over your machine. It's not anything anybody else is doing, you know, illegally or anything else, or trying to get into trouble or that. It just hangs in there, and it can pop in other stuff. So you could be an innocent victim. I'm not saying that all the time, but a good majority of the time right now, especially right now with the holidays and everything else going on, that's the whole key. They're trying to get out there, get your information.
And that sort of brings up a recurring theme we've had is do not run normally as an administrator. Make a standard account for you to run in, and that way things can't install without a couple extra jumps.
Yeah.
And when the kids come over, you should have an even separate kids account that has none of your stuff in it. So if the kids install something, it probably won't be able to install, period. And if it does, it installs in their account, not yours. They won't accidentally delete files of yours. So, and all they want to do is go to kids' websites anyway, usually. So have a kids' account for them.
That's where, you know, I mean, especially if it's a work computer for you, or you do your computing for, you know, your home and everything else, and you can't afford to have it messed up. That's where, you know, you might, like we were saying, right now you can get these Chromebooks for $200-$300, and they're a full computer. They can go on the internet. They can talk to their friends. They can do anything and everything. But if it gets messed up, no big deal.
Yeah, log out of your account, and you can create a new account for them. That's one thing I wish the iPad had is multi-user ability, so that when you hand your iPad off to, to a kid, they only see their games and not yours. There are restriction locks on it, so you can give a kid an iPad and restrict the apps they can run, but that means they're restricted for you too, and so you have to unrestrict them when you get back to you. Although, we had one customer, you can restrict it so Safari will not launch, so you can't get on the web.
Mm-hmm.
The kid figured that out and installed Chrome. So yeah, kids will figure out a way around restrictions.
It's
nice to have that second user.
I don't think on my Nexus I can.
Some of the Android tablets have multi-user mode, but not very few. Yeah, I think it might only be in the latest OS, the latest Jelly Bean, and the latest hardware that you can have a second user. Or was it, maybe it was Amazon? One of the tablets has a second user mode designed for kids, so they don't accidentally delete your stuff, or they can put their apps on it and it doesn't interfere with your apps.
Yeah, I just got an email from...
But according to the manufacturers, you should just buy a second tablet for the kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Drive up sales.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I just got an ad and I haven't had a chance to take a look at it yet for the new Nexus 9.
So now they have a 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. So, you know, again...
One for every inch that you want.
Well, again, you know, it's getting to portability.
Yep.
You know, the convenience that you can sit there and slip it into your pocket
you know. And if you have a bigger pocket, you can get a bigger tablet.
Exactly. And for women that carry a purse, 10-inch tablet, no problem.
Yep.
Most purses, they can shove those in there and pull it out, you know. And
I always joke that a purse is like a tame black hole. How do you get all that stuff into it? They can't find it once it's in there.
Oh, yeah. I call it the land of the lost.
Yeah.
Once it's in there, it's lost. Forget it. I can find it. And they're sitting there. And,
then they tip it upside down and dump everything out on the table.
Candy does that with her phone.
Yep.
She'll put it in there. Where's my phone? No, probably in there.
What's interesting is a lot of purses used to have a pocket for your cigarette pack.
Mm-hmm.
And now that pocket has been expanded to fit your phone.
But like I said, you can go in there and forget it. You might not see it for weeks.
Yep. Backpacks are like that too. You got a water pocket for your water bottle and a pocket for your phone.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's getting crazy. But, you know, again, that's the way our lives are moving. That, you know, we want everything more compact, faster. That's the other big thing. You know, folks say, this is so darn slow. No. go back to the days of dial-up, folks.
Yep.
Then you will have an appreciation on, you say your internet is that slow? Yeah, right. Get over it. You know, it is what it is, and, you know, it's a lot faster than back in the day.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean,
everything gets faster, but then we start asking it to do more, so it feels slower.
We want instant gratification. Yeah.
And people that have had their computers for several years and have changed nothing, still it feels slower.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're asking it to do more. Websites are more interactive, more video, more animation. And that 2 gigs of memory you had, you know, 5 years ago just doesn't cut it today. 4 gig minimum, 8 gig if you can get it.
Yeah. 8 gig is a good to start with. I mean, 32 and 64 would be better.
More and more, yeah.
But, you know, and again, the more you throw at it in these current operating
systems. I remember 32 megs of RAM as being huge. And now 32 gigs of RAM is not that uncommon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and it's cheap. Memory has gotten so cheap that you can sit there and, you know, upgrade it and do more. And
although, annoyingly, memory for the older computers is getting expensive because they stopped making so much.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, a lot of folks will sit there, you know, and we've gotten some callers that, and they've got these old Windows XP machines, and they're running into a lot of issues.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because, one, they've stopped doing the updates, and the programs aren't supported there anymore.
Yep.
So things are going to get messed up. Yes, your machine is going to be running a lot slower, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. There was a question while I was gone from a guy complaining that why don't the companies allow you to upgrade your computers, and why are we all still stuck on XP? Well, Microsoft does allow you to upgrade, and they did allow you to upgrade your XP machine to Vista, and probably to Windows 7, but as Nick pointed out at the time, that, you know, the Pentium with 1 gig of RAM probably won't run the new hardware or the new software very well. You can try it, but you end up upgrading.
Yep, exactly.
And because we want our computers to do more and more things, it needs a higher and higher level of software. So same thing on the Mac side. You can upgrade your old machines. You probably will then need to put in more RAM. You probably will need a bigger hard drive because you've run out of space already with all the photos you're taking. And there comes a point where upgrading an old machine doesn't make sense and you're better off buying a new machine.
Because you can even say, like on one of the older machines, put more memory in it.
Mm-hmm.
But unless the architect of the board can take advantage of it and the operating system,
right?
You know, you're all dressed up, no place to go. Because there was the big
the 32, 64-bit chip upgrades. So 32-bit, you could only see 3 gigs of RAM.
You can even upgrade the processor. Yes, it might speed it up a little bit, but is it going to make a world of difference? No, because the board is still the same architect.
You're moving the bottleneck.
Yeah, you're just moving it around somewhere else. You know, getting its own graphics card, that'll help a little bit.
Well, that's why computers have almost become disposable, especially at the very low end. You get a $299, $399 computer, you throw it away next year and buy a new one.
It's the way it's...
You get a $1,000 computer, it'll probably last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you throw it away and buy a new one. Or pass it down the family so that, but now the younger kids, we used to say you can give it to them for their games. Well, games
they
are so
want it.
Well, and games are so intensive now that you need lots of RAM and a super video card to play the games.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so intensive.
Yeah.
You know, with the back and forth motion, especially they're also on headsets and talking to each other. They formed a team and they're saying Call of Duty.
When I was a kid, we moved a dot through a maze and we were happy to do it in black and white.
Oh, you know, it's amazing how far we have come.
Yep.
In such a short time. It's, you know, for us, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
The changes that we have seen. Matter of fact, we should maybe draw up a list.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about
now,
it on our
now and Christmas and kind of talk it over, you know, during the Christmas season there of the major changes that we've seen with what's coming out for the holiday season.
Yep. And I see my son, who's 16 now, and he's grown up with computers all his life. They're no big deal. He uses them all the time, and he does things that I wouldn't have thought to do or know how to do. You know, he learns things a lot faster than I do, and I'm pretty quick with computers myself. And so what are his kids going to be like when these things are just part of the your ordinary day-to-day life and they, you know, the even more ubiquitous than they are today?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's become just the way society's going to go, you know. But, you know, that's the way of the world, and it's not going to sit still for anybody. But that music tells me another day of Sound Bites is now gone, and you folks have hopefully gained a great amount of knowledge listening to this program for the past 2 years. But you know what? Like Nick says, in 166 hours, you can tune back in and do it all over again. Nick will be back next week. Steve will be here. I'll be here. And please, start thinking, like I was saying before, some of the ideas that you've seen or things that you've seen over the years change. We'd like some of your input, too. And we can kind of hash that over next year, next week when we return for another edition of Soundbites. We'd like to thank all you folks that did take the time and call in with your questions and that. And we'll be back. George is in here next with great German music. And we'll see you next week.